Obama's assertion contains two self-destructive bombshells, both tucked inside the word "we." First, if okayed by Congress, this TPP scam would offshore a whole new round of America's middle-class jobs, hold down or even lower U.S. wages, flood our market with unsafe imported food, free Wall Street banksters from oversight, and empower global corporations to use private trade tribunals of corporate lawyers to usurp our people's sovereignty. How embarrassing that our own president would claim credit for doing such explosive damage to the American people. I'm guessing that even China would not have done worse. Second, Obama's entire TPP charade is blown to bits by his assertion that we are writing the rules. Who's we? Were you consulted? Did you even know that a tiny group of unelected people have been meeting in secret for 7 years to write rules for us? In fact, only about 600 corporate executives and lobbyists were allowed to be at the table, writing rules to benefit themselves at our expense. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's a disgrace that Obama is fronting and even lying for these self-serving, kleptocratic corporate powers.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Say hey, it is Monday. Time is 5:33 right here on KZFR, the only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs. Noobs, how you doing?
I'm well, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. I had a great day just basically watching baseball all day.
Yeah,
and it's still going on. We got hours left.
Quite a comeback in that Houston Astros game.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Wow.
So, you know what? We should just start the program off by talking some baseball.
Let's do that.
We'll start with the game of the day, and that was Game 4 of the Houston-Kansas City series in Texas, and a chance for the Astros to close out the series up 2-1. And you know what? It kind of looked like they were going to do it.
I thought it was over.
They went up 6-2 in the, what was that, the eighth inning? Or bottom of the seventh.
They bottom went up of the 6-2 seventh.
With they a couple of big home runs.
Stretched out that 3-2 lead.
Yep, the crowd's going crazy.
I mean, that place was...
It was rocking. And, you know, like, the Astros don't draw well when they don't play well.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a Wrigley crowd where they're just going to show up.
Right.
But when they are playing well, that's a good fan base.
Mm-hmm.
They just... come when you win.
Right.
But that place was rocking. It felt like it was over. The Royals looked flat. They only had a couple of hits. And then single, 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 single. They have, what, like 6 hits in the next inning and score 5 runs?
Yeah, it was insane.
It was crazy. It was like a 35-minute half inning.
Yeah, I mean, if you were an Astros fan, you probably just sitting there thinking, you know, please stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
You know, and then Correa made what... they scored at the time, E6.
Yeah, it was a real funny ground ball, though.
I think it was hard to come up with. I would have scored at a base hit. They could have turned the double play and gotten out of the inning. I think that maybe there was no outs, but then they got an out after that.
Yeah, the game would have been tied.
It would have been tied instead of them losing by a run.
Uh-huh.
And then Kansas City tacks on 2 more, I think.
Yeah, Hosmer hits a long home run.
So, which pretty much was the last nail.
And you know what was curious is we were texting during the Astros big inning when they took the lead, and Ned Yost pulling a typical Ned Yost move, mismanaging his bullpen. He wasn't bringing Mason out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He just left him in. Like, there was second and third with one out. That game very easily could have been 8-2.
Yes,
because Ned Yost would not jerk his pitcher out of the seventh inning despite it being an elimination game.
Yeah,
I mean, Ned Yost is not a good in-game manager. He's probably good with the guys and all that, but he does not make good decisions, and it almost cost him today.
I think the one good decision that he did make was bringing in Wade Davis in the eighth
for a two-inning save. That was a good decision, yeah.
Because let's just go straight to him.
Yeah.
Because he's the only guy that they could rely on at that point.
At that point, yeah. It just they brought in their guy, and he did what they needed to do. But a wild one, man. I thought they had it sewn up.
Yeah.
And then here come the Royals, just like the wild card game last year.
Oh, yeah.
Down to the A's by four.
That game was phenomenal.
Yep.
And that sent them on that crazy run where they swept the Angels and the Orioles.
Right. And now we go back to Kansas City for game five in a day.
Gotta love game fives.
And here's the funny thing. The Royals are going to start Johnny Cueto, who I think is a big game bum. And the numbers would back it up. He is not a great big game pitcher.
Not only would I agree with that, but I would say he just hasn't pitched well in general down the stretch. Since they got him, both him and Kazmir coming over, respectively, have not pitched well since those trades.
No, so Kazmir, will it be Kazmir on the hill for the Astros?
No, I think they're going Colin McHugh.
They're going McHugh, okay. Yeah. So while I picked the Royals ages ago to win the World Series this year, I'm not going to back off that pick. It would not surprise me if the Astros won that game by getting on Cueto early.
No, I could totally see them winning that game.
He's the kind of guy that implodes.
Yeah.
And if they go up big, it's going to be tough. I mean, they did it today. They came back. But it's really hard to do that in back-to-back games. So I'll be curious to see what they get out of Cueto.
No, I mean, they won his start in game two, but he didn't pitch well that day. I mean, they easily could have lost that game.
Yeah.
They could have actually gotten swept out of there, to be honest with you. But things have gone their way, and now we're looking at a winner-take-all game five on Wednesday night.
And
now we're going to have two game fives in the AL.
That's right.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here.
No. We have two game fives,
Which is going to be phenomenal. I mean, if you like baseball.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Wednesday night's going to be fantastic.
It's been a bunch of good games, too.
We
haven't had a walk-off yet, but there have been a lot of one-run, two-run games.
Yeah, no, it's been exciting. We had some really good pitching matchups, especially in the Dodgers-Mets series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Rob Manfred has just got to be sitting back on, thank God.
This is good for
baseball. Ratings are up.
And then the Blue Jays, their bats woke up today.
Whew.
Well, they kind of woke up when Tulo hit the three-run shot.
I would say yesterday too. They scored five, which is about their average.
And when Tulowitzki hit that two-out, three-run jack, it was like, oh, yeah, that kind of feels like the Blue Jays.
Man.
And today they came out and scored early and often.
Early and often.
An 8-4.
Interesting decision, too, by Gibbons, I believe is the manager. He actually took Price out of the bullpen today.
I like that decision.
Their game one starter, right? And now what they're going to do is they're going to go with Marcus Stroman, rookie sensation, who's been throwing gas.
Yeah.
He's going to go for then game five. And I like the decision because now you save your bullpen, who pitched a lot of innings in that extra inning game two. So now the bullpen should be nice and rested. Maybe even Price can give you an inning or two even on Wednesday. Maybe.
If you need him.
But I like Stroman plus the rested bullpen at home. The Rogers Center is going to be going bonkers.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of Canadians didn't think, and people in general in and around the game probably didn't think the series was going to go back to Toronto.
Right. And you know what? One of the reasons I think it's a great decision by Gibbons is because it would be so easy for many, many managers to be like, well, you know, he's the guy we brought over.
But he's 0-6 in the playoffs.
He's 0-6 in the playoffs. You know, he's been legitimately bad.
Yeah.
And even today, he gave up three runs on six hits in three innings.
Kershaw gets a lot of grief for his playoffs. David Price is worse.
He's probably been worse.
But you know who else started out 0-6? Randy Johnson.
That's true. Things can change.
But guys in the Hall of Fame now.
In the moment, it's kind of a cool move, especially when you got a rookie who's been throwing well. And aside from having a bad first and second inning the other day, he did pitch very well.
No, he did, and he pitched great down the stretch. He was on the mound when they actually locked up the AL East, like the Tuesday before the end of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I actually picked him up on my fantasy team because he was just lighting it up, and it shows a lot of confidence in this kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of reminds me of like Ventura from last year.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? As far as like what he can throw and just rookie and kind of like not – there's something about being young and just being kind of fearless.
Right.
And you haven't had the scar of like disappointments and defeats, you know what I mean, in your psyche.
Yeah. And you know, the way – and we've seen Bruce Bochy do this locally time and time again – don't rely on what happened in the regular season to work in the postseason. If something looks like it's changing, change it.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the right move by Gibbons. Even if it doesn't work out, it's still the right move.
No, I agree. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. The odds are against Price making a good start in game five.
For sure. And Hamels is going to be going on full rest.
Okay.
So it should be a great game.
It should be a great game. I like the Blue Jays in that one. I feel like their bats woke up. I hate to say it, but I almost like the Astros. even though I like the Astros and I want to see my dream ALCS, I feel like the Astros could win that game.
I was thinking there for a minute we were going to have a Lone Star State showdown.
Lone Star State showdown.
But now I'm not so sure. Now I'm like, I don't know who's going to win.
I don't know who's going to win.
It could wind up being Royals Blue Jays like you wanted.
And it could be Texas all over again.
The one thing I will say, though, is that I do not believe that the baseball gods will allow the Astros to win a World Series until that hill is gone.
The hill in center field.
The baseball gods will not allow them to win a World Series. And they're taking it down, by the way, and it's gone next year.
That's right. I heard they're finally getting rid of it.
Which is smart. It's an accident waiting to happen. It's the stupidest thing. It looks dumb.
It's incredibly stupid.
I mean, nobody else does that. It's one thing to have different dimensions, like the, you know, like as far as your outfield fence, but nobody's got a hill in center field. No. I mean, what's next? Let's have like a moat. Let's have some landmines.
It'd be like bringing the member of the old Yankee Stadium back in the day had the monuments in play. It'd be like bringing the monuments back into play in Yankee Stadium waiting for somebody to blow their ankle out. And now we'll switch over to the NL. We have a game in progress right now. The Cubs are now up 7-4 on St. Louis.
Wow.
It was 5-4 a minute ago, and Soler hit another home run. He's got two today.
That guy, him and Rasmus are having unbelievable postseasons.
Yeah, there's a lot of rookie sensation stuff going on offensively right now.
Future of baseball is bright.
It is very bright. And Jake Arrieta finally got to a bit.
Yeah, he showed a little bit of cracks in the old armor.
He's human.
Chinks.
Jason Hayward hit a two-run shot off of him. Yeah. They had a very near three-run homer. So that game's not over, but the Cubs have been squirting the long ball all over the park tonight. I think they got four home runs.
Yep.
A couple of real long ones, too. One off of Rizzo's bat.
Results of the wild cards are really, or at least the scheduling is really starting to show itself now, because you have to throw your number one guy in that one game winner take all scenario.
Right.
Now you can't get to your number one again until game three of that division series.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Keuchel's only going to go once. He won his game three. Arrieta's only going to get to go one.
Right.
Looks like he's going to win in the five.
But at the
now
same
in
time,
the seven, they'll be able to, you know, probably get them each in there twice.
There's also this curious flip side to that where, say, you advance in the wild card game, your number one just pitched. If you can then split at, you know, the other team's ballpark, then you've got your number one set up for game three at home automatically.
Which was the scenario in both of these series, yeah,
which put both teams up, and or put the Astros up 2-1, and very well will put the Cubs up 2-1.
So it did turn out, I guess, to be advantageous.
It's bizarre, but it's all dependent on that split.
Yeah.
You got to come out of there with a split.
And I think if you have like a good number two, like the Cubs have in Lester, and you know, I think Houston's pitching staff is pretty strong.
Starting staff's pretty decent. Bullpens, you know, could be a little iffy.
Bullpen's a little shaky. Gregerson, is it?
Yeah, Gregerson's a good pitcher. He's just not your stereotypical closer.
Right. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think like as across the board, I think they might have the deepest rotation in the AL. You know what I mean? I like McHugh. I like Fears is decent. Keuchel's might win the Cy Young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not a big believer in KC's starting rotation. That's for sure.
No, it's pretty spotty right now.
Like Ventura and Cueto, you're 1-2.
Yeah,
that ain't good.
They just haven't pitched that well of late.
And Ventura is, you know, capable. He was phenomenal in the World Series last year.
He's a bit of a head case.
He is.
You don't know what you're going to get.
True.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Mets and the Dodgers go for Game 3 in, I think it just started, actually.
5:37, I think, was first pitch.
Just a few minutes ago. And, of course, there was massive controversy after Game 2. And I could spend a whole show just talking about Chase Utley and his not so much of a slide.
Right.
And how insane it drives me, and how the baseball really fouled that whole thing up on the field and then in the disciplinary process.
Absolutely.
They kind of made a mockery of the whole thing.
Yeah, they called him safe even though he never touched the bag.
He was out by rule. Aside from the fact that it was dirty, he was literally out by rule.
Well, can you explain to me this neighborhood play thing? Because I've seen that same thing happen a thousand times, and they call him out.
I've seen the guy drag his foot over and never actually touch it.
It
should have been called a neighborhood play because he was attempting to turn two.
Right.
But they said because it was more of a force-out play, they negated the fact that he was trying to turn the double play, and then that got rid of the neighborhood factor, so it made it reviewable on the force-out, which they turned over because he missed the bag by a centimeter.
Oh, my God.
That was the logic behind it. It was totally fouled up on the field and in New York. And then they suspend Chase Utley, even though they called him safe on the field.
Right.
So while I agree that it was dirty,
It was dirty.
It wasn't a slide.
No.
There's nothing good that can happen when you don't slide and you collide into a guy's exposed knee.
Broke his fibula.
The only thing that's going to happen is you get lucky and you don't get hurt.
Yeah.
And in this case, he broke his leg.
Yeah. And honestly, I hate to say this, but Utley took one to the face.
Oh, no.
I'm totally okay with that. In fact, I kind of hope he got
he got his bell wrong, but apparently he didn't. But yeah, I mean, the fact that they screwed it up on the field and then they suspend him when they haven't suspended anybody else for it just shows you that this is a little rule thing that needs to be addressed, and they didn't handle it correctly. And I think it will be officially addressed finally in the offseason.
And on top of that, they didn't address the appeal of his suspension. So Don Mattingly did not put him in the starting lineup tonight, but he could have been available off the bench. He's available.
Yeah. Yeah. So he appealed the suspension. He's in New York, where the suspensions get appealed anyway.
Yeah,
and because he appealed it, he's in the dugout tonight. Yeah. God help him if he comes up off the bench. You know, we talked.
He won't
about,
get drilled. They won't unless they're up like by seven runs. He won't get drilled.
It would incite quite a scene if he did.
It would.
Yeah,
and the benches might clear. Who knows?
And maybe there'd be some actual punches thrown in a postseason brawl. I don't know.
Yeah,
it would be interesting if he came up tonight.
Yeah,
I kind of want to see that happen. Actually, I'd like to see him hit.
I don't ever want anybody to get hurt, but if he gets plunked, I'm okay with that.
I am absolutely okay with that.
I'm more than okay
like,
with it.
I don't like
I've
Chase,
never liked Utley
I've
to begin with.
Utley, yeah, not as a Philly or a Dodger. Yeah. I think on a mini rant, I think his numbers are grossly inflated by playing in the biggest bandbox in baseball, yeah. Even more than KC, yeah.
It's
Colorado.
Yeah.
And I think he's just generally an overrated player that likes to play too hard on he's known for coming in dirty like that at yeah. second base and yeah. not trying to touch the bag. End of rant.
You got to start your slide before the bag. He didn't even actually slide.
He didn't even slide.
He like bowled
himself into him.
Yeah.
It's like this isn't 1964.
Thank you.
You know, like you're not Pete Rose or Hal McRae
right.
or whoever, you know, like yeah. this isn't John McGraw's team. Okay, that's enough. Let's move on to
let me ask you who yeah. you got tonight in that one.
I don't know. That series is such a toss-up for me.
I think if Harvey is the pitcher that everybody thinks he can be, then he will come out and dominate tonight.
And he's got no innings limit. He said that straight out in an interview the other day.
And he's got a lot to prove because he's got stuff to prove to his teammates.
Yeah.
Because the whole innings limit thing, plus he missed a mandatory workout. So
yeah.
I think he comes out tonight and just shuts them down.
This is the Mets' chance to really grab the series because they don't have to face Kershaw or Greinke. And I don't care if Kershaw's history is what it is. He still scares me.
Well, check this out. They could bring Kershaw back on short rest tomorrow,
uh-huh.
and then you'd have Greinke on full rest on Thursday.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
This is the Mets' real opportunity with a distinct advantage in the pitching matchup.
For sure.
I mean, Brad Anderson's pretty good, but
he's not Matt Harvey.
He's not Matt Harvey. When Matt Harvey's on his game, he is lights out.
Yeah.
So this is their shot to grab the series.
I'm picking the Mets tonight.
Yep, yep. Okay, let's move on to college football here on Say Hey, because we could talk baseball till we're blue in the face. Big weekend, lots of stuff coming up.
Yes.
I'm going to let you lead with this, noobs.
Okay. Well, we had some interesting things go down on Saturday. A couple close scares. TCU was playing at Kansas State. Went down to the final minute. K-State went out to an 18-point lead in that one. Looked like maybe we were going to have an upset on our hands. TCU, though, with their quarterback, who's a Heisman Trophy candidate this year, came back and just they wouldn't be denied. Got a touchdown there under 2 minutes to go. Wound up winning the game by 7. Pretty much everybody won out. Clemson stayed undefeated. Ohio State stayed undefeated. I think the big story, though, right now, and even looking forward to next weekend, is what's going down in the Big Ten, because now you have the Michigan Wolverines, who a lot of people thought it was going to take Jim Harbaugh a year or two to rebuild that program.
Nope.
Apparently not.
Three
straight shutouts over BYU, Maryland, and Northwestern, who was previously
undefeated
and ranked 13th.
No, they haven't had three straight shutouts, just to put it in perspective, since the early 80s.
Now, will they shut out the Spartans on Saturday at the Big House? No.
Probably not.
Don't think so. But real quick, looking ahead, though, to this Saturday, I want to highlight some of these Big Ten matchups because we're going to have some serious separation happening here. The Big Ten is 14-team league, despite their name. So they've got two divisions, the East and the West. Iowa, the surprising Hawkeyes, are 6-0. They're playing in Northwestern, or at Northwestern, I should say, who's 5-1. So that's going to be really interesting because those teams are both in basically tied for first place right now. Well, Northwestern's undefeated in the conference. Northwestern has one loss. Iowa's undefeated. But they're going to play. So the winner of that will be in the lead in the West. Now, the East is a little bit more stacked. They've got Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. Michigan State and Michigan, like we just said, play each other in Ann Arbor this weekend. And also surprising Penn State, who's 5-1 now after dropped an embarrassing game to Temple earlier in the year. They play at Ohio State, who's undefeated. So there's going to be some shaking to do here in the East of the Big Ten. We're going to know a lot more about who's going to wind up representing that division
right.
in the conference championship game. Looking ahead, I mean, obviously the winner of this Michigan State-Michigan game has the inside track to unseat Ohio State later on in the year. All three of those teams will play each other because they are in the same division.
Right.
Now, real quick, nothing big in the Big 12 because it's all pretty much pancake games. You know, TCU's playing at Iowa State and Baylor's hosting West Virginia. So look for those two teams to stay undefeated on their collision course later on in the year. Now, the big games I want to talk about in the SEC, and there's a few of them, is Alabama, Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, of course, has the one loss. A&M is undefeated. A&M is hosting that game in College Station. And also an interesting one down in Baton Rouge, undefeated Florida will be playing at the Tigers, who are also undefeated. Now, Florida's quarterback just got a PED suspension and is out for the year. He says it's an over-the-counter supplement, and he's going to appeal. But their starting quarterback will not be playing in this game. So interesting game. Also, Ole Miss is 5-1. They play at Memphis, out of conference. Now, the Tigers are 5-0. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people probably look at this game and say the Rebels are going to roll them.
Uh-huh.
But I think this is a spot where Ole Miss might be looking ahead. And I think the Tigers, who do have some firepower, I saw them on a Thursday night game
mm-hmm.
not too long ago. I think that's an upset waiting to happen, one of those what they call a trap game. It won't hurt Ole Miss and the if they do lose, it won't hurt them in the SEC standings. A lot to be played out there. They, you know, Alabama, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and LSU are all in the SEC West.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of great college football to come. Now looking out west real quick, Thursday night we've got UCLA at Stanford. Huge game.
That's a good game.
Huge game. UCLA coming off a very disappointing loss at home against Arizona State. Stanford rolling after, you know, four straight after that initial loss at Northwestern to begin the season. And then the nightcap on Saturday is maybe not huge, but could play deeper in the season because Arizona State travels to undefeated Utah, who just knocked off Cal for Cal's first loss.
What was it, 30-24?
Yeah, very close game. Yeah, Goff five picks.
Had a rough night.
But Arizona State's 2-1 in the league, and Utah's 2-0. So if Arizona State can somehow pull the upset, they'll actually be in first place in the Pac-12 South.
That would be so bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, they lost real bad to USC,
right.
who's had a couple strange losses.
Well, and also strange by USC is their head coach has now taken an indefinite leave of absence.
No, he got fired.
Did he officially get fired?
He officially got fired.
They asked him the indefinite leave?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the rumors are that he showed up at the team facility inebriated yesterday.
And the general consensus upon that being released is that he has a history of alcohol abuse within the game.
Was drunk at a...
At a pep rally
with the boosters and all that.
Made some obscene comments, and they've talked to some of his old Washington kids recently, and they're like, "Well, yeah, you're not shocking us here."
Right.
So always weird when you hear about somebody in a position like that that takes it onto the field, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that's weird for the USC fans out there because they came into the season with some stuff riding, and now I don't know, maybe they can turn it around and have a good swing with Clay. What's the name of the new assistant head coach?
I don't even know.
Yeah, but they kind of a bizarre story.
It is a bizarre story. If you're a fan of tradition, though, the Trojans, who we just talked about, are traveling to South Bend to play 5-1 Notre Dame. That's just one of those historical matchups that goes back decades.
Right.
And so Notre Dame still clinging to a possibility that they, if they run the table and go 11-1, that they might get invited to the playoff. I don't think that they will.
Right.
But you know, Golden Dome are still alive.
I had a I have an Ohio State friend, a real deal Ohio State fan friend that went to school there. He goes back for their big game against Michigan every other year with old friends. He's really hyped for this year's game. I think it's on November 28th, right after Thanksgiving, and it's always kind of cool when an old rivalry suddenly becomes extremely relevant again.
Yeah.
And who knows what's going to happen this next week with Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah.
But that matchup is going to have some flavor that it hasn't had in recent years.
Absolutely.
I'm already looking forward to that.
Yeah.
How does that look, Jed York, running Jim Harbaugh out of town? If it looked bad at the time, how's it look now?
Yeah, not too good.
Not too good.
Look for Jim to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears in about 5 years.
Oh, God. Just stay at Michigan, Jim.
Well, I mean, he just seems to be a kind of a restless soul. And, like,
yeah.
A lot of people, college is kind of is conducive to, like, staying somewhere for 10, 15, 20 years. The NFL, I mean, Bill Belichick is kind of the outlier. Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, guys that stick around forever.
It generally doesn't happen. It seems like, you know, the shelf life for an NFL coach is about 4 to 5 years, but if you're doing well.
College coaches, given the opportunity, they can stick around for basically as long as they want if they win and are just respectable in general.
Absolutely. So Harbaugh could go on to be the next Bo Schembechler at Michigan, but I also feel like if he wins a national championship, that he seems the kind of competitor that wants to win the ultimate prize, and let's be honest, the NFL is the ultimate prize.
I suppose it is. You're saying he's got too much Larry Brown in him, huh?
I think he's got a little bit of Larry Brown in him,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And I think maybe not as much, because Larry Brown is...
Yeah, dude, that guy has coached everybody.
Unbelievable. I think he coached my high school team.
Yeah. Didn't he recently get some like season-long suspension for SMU?
I think it's only 8 games, but SMU is not eligible for the postseason, which is a shame.
That's what it is,
because they're like a top 20 team.
Yeah, yeah. And that's college hoop we were referring to there, but... Yeah, I just think it's so – I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. For a guy like Harbaugh, the track record that he's established of turning teams around now –
phenomenal.
To have done what he'd done again in Michigan, dude, that guy must just be like – I mean, we know he's kind of a madman and all.
Yeah.
But, like, he must be one of these people that when it comes to coaching, like, he looks out at the field, whether it's practice or the game, and he just, like, things unfold before him in a way that they don't for most people. Because to just do that is like, it's really weird.
No, because he's basically playing with the same guys
I know.
That the coach had who got fired last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't even really had a full recruiting year.
No.
And so he goes out there and he just maximizes what he has.
And he did it with the Niners. He did it with Stanford.
He did it with San Diego.
Yeah. I mean, it's really crazy.
No, it's phenomenal. I mean, I'm impressed. I think maybe his attitude plays better in college.
Probably does.
And because by the time the kids are sick of him, they're seniors and they're gone anyway.
Uh-huh.
Where I think in the NFL, maybe he'll like rub some veterans maybe the wrong way, even though he was, you know, a good NFL quarterback himself. But so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I think people, like I said earlier, they were looking at Michigan to be a powerhouse maybe next year or the year after that. But man, that if they continue to run the table, that Ohio State game is going to be
it's going to be
huge.
Off the charts.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. Wrapping it up here on Say Hey, just a score update. Still 7-4 in Chicago. Nothing at the end of the first in New York. That's Matt Harvey against Brett Anderson. And I can't wait for game fives, man.
Yeah, we got two game fours in the NL no matter what happens tonight.
Right, right.
And then we'll have two game fives in the AL on Wednesday night. So
yeah,
it's getting good.
It's getting real good. It's going to be – it's extremely exciting. And right before we go – I want to give just one random shout out to the Cardinals. They're probably going to lose tonight down 7-4, but man, they won 100 games this year. They're playing a tough Cub team. I don't know what's going to happen in this series. They somehow are under the radar. The road to the World Series in the NL has gone through St. Louis or San Francisco for basically the last 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
And no one talks about the Cardinals. And yeah, they might get knocked out, but they had so many injuries this year. I just want to give a shout out to the Cardinals for being amazing.
I'm glad you do that, because it is, we should tip our proverbial cap to them, because they might be eliminated by the time comes around.
They finally put some runs up against Arrieta. Now their Waka didn't do well tonight. Their bullpen hasn't done well, but
yeah,
you know,
and with all the injuries that they had this year,
it's amazing.
It's amazing what they've done. I mean, you just that
and
organization,
the best division in baseball.
Best division in baseball.
Yeah, it's they're the top of the game as organization wise, in this era, even more so than the Yankees.
Better than the Yankees. Better than the Red Sox. I'd even say better than the Giants.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you look at year in and year out, what they do. Sure, you can give a couple extra rings to the Yankees. You give a couple extra ones to the Giants in recent years. But the Cardinals are just—they're never bad.
They're never bad.
Never.
Never.
It's
unbelievable.
Yeah,
really,
they're never bad, and they're not going to be bad next year. They're going to be good.
No,
they have a bunch of good young players
for sure. And Wainwright's back.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, almost miraculous recovery.
Right.
And if he's at full strength next year, watch out.
Yep, watch out. So, That's Say Hey for you, noobs. Good show.
Good show.
All right, folks, stick around. We got some news on the way. Going to play a quick promo here for The Shining coming out to the pageant this weekend. Here you go.
Friday, October 16th at the Pageant Theater.
I don't suppose they told you anything in Denver about the tragedy we had up here during the winter of 1970? Well,